The whole point of knowing Jesus Christ, the essential reason for believing in Him, is that our faith should change our lives. To believe in Jesus is to be converted. To believe in Jesus is to be recreated. To believe in Jesus is to experience new life. To believe in Jesus is to begin even a new way of being. Through baptism, we are born again, and we confess that we have died and risen with Christ. Our sins are washed away. The image and likeness of God, once distorted by our rebellion, are now restored by our obedience and by Christ's obedience. And through water and the Holy Spirit, God adopts us as His own children. We become a part of Christ, and God sees and loves in us what He sees and loves in His own Son. And God deigns to share with us a participation in His own divine life. But the awesome mystery that we celebrate in today's Solemnity of the Ascension is not only about what is changed in us, it is also about what is changed in God. In Jesus, His divinity and humanity were united in one person. That is the Christ who lived among us. What God is, almighty and eternal, was born of a woman, born as a weak human infant. Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, was for our sake willing to be called the carpenter's son and lived and worked in poverty. But it was also the incarnate Word of God who preached, taught, and healed, who fully shared in our existence, even in our human experience of death. In obedience to the Father, and out of love for each one of us, He suffered death, even death on a cross. But by dying, He destroyed our death, and by rising, He restored our life. And Jesus Christ, fully human and fully divine, then ascended to the right hand of the Father. The second person of the Trinity had lost nothing of His divinity while on earth, but now glorified in heaven, He has lost nothing of our humanity. He never left His Father when He came down among us, nor did He abandon us now that He has ascended into heaven. In the resurrected and ascended Lord, our human nature is now and forever united to God's divine nature. Talk about an amazing success story for the human race. We're all familiar with those stories about people who've gone from rags to riches, a poor immigrant who comes to America and ends up becoming a millionaire, or someone poor who marries someone rich, or an athlete who starts out in the slums but ends up in a splendid mansion. But this ascension story is endlessly more wonderful and amazing. The truth that we celebrate on this, the most hope-filled of feasts, shatters all our past categories and surpasses our greatest dreams. What we have understood to be reasonable reality is now turned entirely upside down. In Christ, our human nature is exalted at the right hand of the Father. Our humanity, who and what we are, is now and forever a part of who and what God is. In the ascension of Jesus, our human nature has ascended and is now a part of God's being through the life of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. This miracle was achieved not by human generation, nor by the will of man or the desire of the flesh, but only by the grace of God. It is now our promised inheritance, our human destiny to share in God's everlasting life. That is the life, the bliss, and beatitude of the Most Holy Trinity. The challenge of this solemnity is to seize the opportunity, accept the gift, claim the birthright that the Lord has offered us. In today's first reading, we hear about a new annunciation, a new angelic declaration. Galileans, why are you still standing there looking up to the skies? And we can easily imagine those disciples standing there with their mouths wide open, looking up, perhaps like all of us, a bit dim, stunned by the mystery of Christ. But then they heard that announcement. The same Jesus, now glorified, will return. So the challenge for them 20 centuries ago and the challenge for us in this year of our Lord 2011 is to live that new life Christ has given us, to live in expectation of the end of the ages, to live in hope of the second coming of the Savior. That's why the gospel commands all of us disciples to witness and preach in His name to the whole world. Faith and baptism means our salvation. Say no to Christ's call means loss. All the world needs to recognize that where Jesus now is, all humanity is now summoned. Believing in our eternal life should change everything about our lives in time. That is why the St. Vincent de Paul Society, in the tradition of Blessed Frederick Ozanam, today and in the past, worked so zealously on behalf of the poor and the marginalized. Under the patronage of St. Vincent de Paul, you honor the glorified humanity of Christ by the way you so tirelessly serve the humanity of the poor who live among us on this earth. That is the reason why you've been sentient, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, find housing and furniture for the homeless, and visit the sick. That is why the Vincent de Paul Society must always be ready for renewal, for continuing change, for new voices and new hands to enter into your ranks. That is why younger generations of Vincentian volunteers must be welcomed and empowered to continue all those corporal works of the mercy which are our God's command to us on this earth. Our humanity, God's divinity, the rich and the poor, friends and strangers, heaven and earth, life and eternity are all united when we come together for Mass. They are especially united when we receive communion, and we are united with those saints who have gone before us and all those who have served the Lord in their neighbor. So at this liturgy, let us worship and adore Christ's presence in the Eucharist. Let us recognize that in the sacrament, our human nature is now grafted into God's nature. Then may we be changed in the choices and decisions we make in our everyday lives through the grace of the Lord's resurrection and ascension.